Hi, how are you
Oh, I'm good.
in these crazy times?
I know. I feel so far away from you. I hate
Know.
it.
It is very strange.
It's so
I
weird. Usually
know.
we're
I
together
know.
in your living room, and now we're not, and it's weird, and I don't like it.
I know.
And
It's, I know.
times are weird, man. Times are weird.
Had to go to the CVS this morning just to get a couple of things. Well, first of all, I went to Winn-Dixie the other day, and
Oh, bless you.
they still do not have paper products of any sort, like paper towels,
Stop it.
toilet paper. So I got a pack of paper napkins,
There you go. Do
which
what
we had
you
to use for a little
gotta
bit. So I went to the CVS, and they had single roll of toilet paper, but you're only allowed to purchase one.
Oh.
They also were out of emergency because there's some rumors that emergency and zinc help
Oh, yeah.
prevent you. So like that shelf is empty.
Of course. So weird.
It's so weird to walk through the CVS and see like whole shelves just empty.
Yeah.
They had a barricade set up in front of the cashiers so you don't
Oh
get too
my
close to them. It's
Oh
like,
my God.
oh, is this a movie? Like,
I know. It's like I feel like we're in like the beginning of The Walking Dead, like
I
how Bird Box started or some shit. Like
hope
it's
not.
been, I mean, what is today? Sunday? Yeah, today's
Yes.
Sunday. So yesterday was like 2 official weeks since I have been like
Yeah.
self-quarantined because of my RA, and like it's just so weird. Like I'll drive, like my mom will be like not let me get out of the car, and like so whenever I have to go get food or whenever I like want to pick up something or whatever, like my mom has to go, and so I'm just like sitting in the car. I have like not been in contact with anyone. It's so bizarre, and it feels like much longer than 2 weeks. It's so weird. Like I feel like I've done this for like 8 years and I'm
Oh,
over it. And I'm ready to like not have to do this anymore.
wow. I know. I think I told you the other day I was went for a walk and my hairdresser was on her porch.
Oh no.
And she called me and she's like, "Oh my God, hi." And I'm like, "Hi." And
I
I wanted to go give her a hug because I know she can't cut hair, so she's not
Yeah.
making any money. So I wanted to give her a hug, but I'm like, I can't hug you because,
I know.
and I'm not even a hugger. And I just felt like I needed to comfort her because I was like,
I know.
I feel so bad.
I am a hugger, and I like it's so hard not to like shake hands with people, and it's like I get it, like we need to follow all the rules and the guidelines, especially like us in New Orleans. We're always together and always up in each other's business, and like that's just like a hotbed for issue, and it's so beyond, I feel like, our nature to be indoor and not doing things. And of course it's like been freaking gorgeous outside for the past like week. I'm like, it's like God's sick joke. Like
I know. We don't have a yard because,
Yeah.
I live in a shotgun. So I've been, we go for walks and
Right.
there's so many people. I think people are getting more exercise now than they have ever.
Totally,
Because
totally.
everybody's out
100%.
walking.
Yeah, it's like you have to get out and like go walk. I'm definitely gonna have a drinking problem at the end of this. Like we already thought I had one, but like I 100% am gonna come out like with a drinking problem. I'm also gonna be able to solve like any and all
Oh
crimes.
my God,
Like any true crime, I will be able to solve it. Like yesterday, my favorite Cold Justice came on. And oh my God, it's my favorite. So, it was like Cold Justice and then like a 2 hour Dateline, and then there was like another like oxygen thing. I'm like, I basically should just get like a police badge now and just be a detective because like I can solve all crime now because
So,
I
like, you know
have seen
how to deliver a baby because of
call the midwife.
midwife,
Yes.
and
I'm
now
gonna
you
have
can
so many
solve
skills
crime.
after this. Right. I'm gonna have so many skills. I'm gonna be able to birth your baby and solve your cousin's murder at the same time, like simultaneously, like while it's all happening at
That
once.
is the next big show is the crime solving
Right.
midwife.
That's the crowd. I love it. Oh, where's Dick Wolf when you need him? Somebody get on that. Tell Dick Wolf. I'm going to be a crime-fighting midwife.
And, of course, because it's 2020, everybody's watching The Tiger King.
Oh, my God. I mean, can we talk about it for a second?
It's all anyone can do.
It's. I mean, it's. It, if you would have told me by March we would all be inside, stuck inside, and obsessed with a gay tiger-raising cowboy.
Right.
I would not have believed you. I would not at all.
Also, someone pointed out it's still March. Can you believe it's still
March? Oh, my God. I feel like this has been – March has been the longest year of my life. Let's just be real. Like, it's been the longest year of my life. I'm so over it.
Yeah.
I'm so ready to not – for it not to be March anymore.
Right.
I mean, April's always been one of my favorite months because that's when Jazz Fest starts. And I mean, I know it's not starting this year, but you know, I'll get past it. Well, it's fine. This year was such a good lineup too. I was so excited. I was ready.
I know.
Jazz Fest is like my time with my, it's me and my old people just like loving each other in the middle of horse poop and no one cares. Like, it's just a recipe for delight.
Yeah,
if you ask me.
Absolutely.
And I am just so sad. So it's always, April's always been my favorite month, but now I'm like, ugh, it's like this cloud, this like black cloud is just over it.
I know.
Ugh.
I know.
But you know, oh well, the Tiger King is here to help us, oh my help God. Us through it all. Honestly, if they're not working on a second season, I'm gonna be real fucking pissed because they need to do the second season and then have it out by like the end of May.
Well, aren't
or there's gonna be unrest.
I mean, there's a lot of rumors that they're working on a movie about it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and it, Kate McKinnon
has, stop it.
When the rumor was that Kate McKinnon would play Carol.
Stop it. Stop.
But someone also stop said right now. Kate McKinnon should play dual roles. She should play Joe Exotic.
Joe
and Carol.
That would be amazing if she played both.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, why is SNL not?
Oh my God, I know. Can you imagine?
That would be so perfect. All these opportunities we're missing here. But you know, I'd rather have these missed opportunities than be all of us sick and dying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
PSA, wash your hands.
I know.
Stay inside. Listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
When you get through it all, listen to it again.
When I went to the CVS, I brought my wallet and a bottle of Purell with me. It's just like,
oh, 100%. Linda goes nowhere without her Lysol wipes.
Yes.
Like, she brings the entire big roll of thing into wherever she goes.
Good.
It's insane. I mean, it's great, but it's like also hilarious. Yeah. Just her walking around with a Lysol container.
I know.
It's pretty hysterical. But I know. Well, speaking of toilet paper too, I forgot to mention this when you were mentioning toilet paper. So we all know I love a good PJ's coffee moment. They're, you know, it's my fave. Those are my people. I go there all the time, kind of thing. And so the other day we went through the drive through on Vets is open. And so we pull up to the drive through window and there's a piece of paper on it that says, if you purchase a pastry, you get a free roll of toilet paper. I was like, that is genius.
Oh my God.
Genius marketing.
Wow.
Genius. And literally I got up, we were already going to order a pastry. So I was like, shit, now I'm definitely ordering one. Like, you know, so we already order, we're getting one. And then we got a second one for my uncle, 'cause we were going to go give him coffee and some food instead.
Yeah.
And so we pull up and she's like, well, do you want your toilet paper? And I'm like, yes, I want your toilet paper. Of course I do.
Oh, wait.
Are you insane?
Did PJ's buy all the toilet paper?
Apparently whoever owns the PJ's on Vets bought all the toilet paper.
Oh my
God. they got a leg up on the information.
Wow.
And it was like, stuff is about to go down, get yourself some toilet paper. And now they just, I guess maybe though, like, if they always have to keep it stocked and now nobody's going into any of their PJs,
yeah,
so they probably just have like a shit ton of toilet
paper.
So they can. I mean, she also asked me like people weren't taking it. So I wouldn't assume that everybody's like rolling through being like, I ordered two pastries, so I need two toilet paper rolls. Excuse you. But honestly, we were running out of toilet paper. Like one of our things to go while we why we were out was to go find toilet paper.
Because you're not crazy and you haven't been hoarding it.
No. I'm like, why?
Right.
It's fine. Like everyone, I don't understand why toilet paper. Like I get it. Like if you're stuck inside, like yeah, you're gonna have to go to the bathroom like normal, and you know, you're not putting your toilet paper. You know, you're not getting your toilet paper from multiple places because you're not at work. You're not going like here, there, and the other.
Right.
So like, I get it, but I'm like, calm down, y'all. Mean? Like it's fucking toilet paper. Jesus.
You can still go buy some.
I know. I was like, shit. I'll use Kleenex if I need to. Yeah. Like God.
Or you use napkins, man.
I know, Jesus. Be, you know, be resourceful people. None of these people would survive an apocalypse.
I know.
Oh, you know, we're all dead in that case.
Yeah.
Well, so besides that, I have a nice little story for
you.
Oh,
excellent.
Yeah, it's called it's a fancy story.
Ooh.
And I say fancy because this lady is referred to as the fancy prostitute of Basin Street.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard this story before?
No.
Good. Okay. It's a good one. It's an interesting. It's short. It's not too long.
Great.
But it's short. She seems like an interesting lady. And I wish that there was more about her. Mm-hmm. A couple of my resources were Storyville District, NOLA.com. I got a few things from like Wikipedia and just other like little search things. And then Storyville District, NOLA.com said that they also pulled a few things from a New Orleans magazine article from November 1997.
Excellent.
And I was like, hey, we know those people.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I was like, well, that's cool. So obviously if New Orleans magazine put it out, it's gotta be true.
Gotta be good.
Gotta be good. So basically the reason why she has become a topic is Saturday morning of November 3rd, 1883,
okay.
Kate Townsend was found stabbed 11 times all over her chest and body, laying in a pool of blood in her Basin Street brothel.
Oh, boy.
So that's what we're working with. Okay.
Okay.
So to go back to the start, Kate Townsend, she had a large reputation around New Orleans. She wasn't just a quote fancy prostitute, as some note her as. She was responsible for one of the first grand houses or brothels. That's just a fancy ass name for a brothel that made Basin Street famous. If you know, because you want to be famous for something, and if not anything, then why not brothels?
Well, sure.
Her story though does not start in New Orleans. Her story starts in Liverpool, England in 1839, where she was born Catherine Cuttingham.
Okay.
Right. So she was, when she was 15, she worked as a barmaid on Paradise Street in Liverpool.
Oh.
And she was a barmaid. It was like, it didn't say it was a brothel, but it was like.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So she meets Peter Kerningham, something like that. Go
sure.
with it.
Yeah, love it.
A sailor. So Peter is a
sailor.
She saved, right? I know. They look great in the uniform, but stay the fuck away from them. So he was a sailor that she saved during a bar fight. She saved his life during a bar fight. And one thing led to another, and out pops.
Oh, no.
Right.
Oh.
So, of course, Peter is conveniently sailing away at this point when she out pops twins. Oh, and like any good person, Kate ditches the twins and changes her name to Townsend and sails to America, as one does.
What? She just dropped them off somewhere? What is it? What?
There was no additional research. I'm just going to assume. I'm going to hope that they lived a nice, happy life. That's what I'm going to tell myself, is they lived a nice, happy life. And that's what I'm going with. And she changed her name to Townsend and sails to America. So she spends a hot second in New York and then eventually makes her way down to New Orleans in 1857. So at this point, she's 18 years old. She, it's war. Noted.
So, pre-Civil War. So,
right. So, it's noted that she's exceedingly handsome and, quotes, had a, quote, exceptionally voluptuous figure.
Oh, wow. Curvy.
So, apparently, she was working with it, and nobody in New Orleans was ready for that.
Oh, boy.
So, Kate and her voluptuous 18-year-old figure joined Clara Fisher's brothel on Philippa Street, which is now Dryad Street. And she lived there for about 6 months. Then she moved to Maggie Thompson's brothel on Custom House Street, which they did not tell me what Custom House Street is now, but go with it. So she stayed with Clara on Philippa Street for 6 months and then moves to Maggie Thompson's place on Custom House Street. In 1863, at age 24, she pieces out of Maggie Thompson's house and rents herself a house on Villery and Custom House Street.
Okay.
Again, did not tell me reference of where that is. But in Storyville, the Storyville area-ish. So it's here that she becomes really popular, prosperous, like, is like where you go for your brothel kind of thing. And she, this happens because at her last brothel, Maggie Thompson's place, she had befriended some wealthy people. So she, so she's friends with like wealthy people, wealthy men, politicians, city officials, police officers, like, you know, all the people that she needed to be friends with, she became friends with. Because, I mean, she was pretty and voluptuous and, you know, So she becomes wealthy and her house becomes her house, her brothel, her, her people. They become so popular that she ends up building a three-story mansion. On Basin Street.
Okay.
So they called it a palace of marble and brownstone in the newspapers. And I was like, well, shit.
Fancy.
Right. She fancy. And that's at number 40 Basin Street, or which is now 121 Basin Street.
Mm.
So a little bit says, the fireplaces and mantels were white marble. The furniture was solid black walnut, upholstered in damask, and the floor had velvet carpets.
Velvet carpets. Wow.
Yeah, girl. Like, shit was happening.
Yeah.
Shit was.
She got a lot of money.
I know.
Wow.
So she got that money somehow. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, she worked it. And so a New Orleans Magazine article also said, basically, that there was a $100 fee for a, quote, encounter.
Oh, that's a lot of money for them.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, shit, man. And it said, so that is said to have made Kate's girls among the highest paid for their profession in the country.
Oh, wow.
Right. So she had, like, the fancy ladies in the fancy house. And it said the mansion resembled that of a miniature Versailles.
Oh, my.
So, yeah. Oh, so I'm like, no wonder why. Yeah. They also said like a pint of champagne was like $50 and like all that shit was like happening at this place. And like they were fancy and these girls were like high end prostitutes. And like, I would doubt you're coming out of there with any like gross diseases or anything, like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It also said the Times-Picayune described her bedroom, or what they called the, quote, sleeping chamber of the bordello mistress.
Oh.
I was like, oh, fuck.
Your sleeping chamber.
Your sleeping chamber. Where's the baby's chamber?
Baby's chamber.
So,
that's a good Creek reference. FYI.
Loved it. Love Schitt's Creek. so, yeah, it said it had work of renowned artists and the obvious knowledge of the fine arts, but with good taste and like glass door armoires and the finest linens. Ooh. And basically she was fancy as fuck for that time. And it is said that the entire mansion was worth $100,000.
Oh my.
Right. So she lived like really nicely,
like a queen
for that time. Yeah. Like she was like the head bitch in charge, and she was like working it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in eight, like that's where I would want to work if I was a prostitute in that time. Like if I had to be one, like that's the house that I would want
to
be.
Because you know, this is very much not to, sorry to bring it back, but the harlots on Hulu.
Oh my God! Yes,
this is like the fancy lady.
Yes.
That
yes.
wears the white just powdered that. Wig and all that.
Yes. Yeah. Powders her face. Does that whole thing. Exactly. Yeah. Like 100%. Yeah. That's actually what I thought about too. Yeah. And later on, there's another reference to something that made me think of harlots like immediately. Yeah. Hopefully all of you listeners have watched Harlots. It's so freaking good. Except it gets to like the third season and some shit happens and you're like, oh no, no. And I kind of couldn't get back into it. But
yeah, I have to let it
I'm gonna give it another. I'm going to give it another chance.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry to.
Anyway, so she's like living it up, living her happy little life. In 1878, Kate was 39 years old, and Trevel Egbert Sykes.
Oh boy! Okay.
Just all right. Take that mouthful. Okay. In. A member of a wealthy NOLA family and son of a merchant and auctioneer moved into her brothel.
Oh.
So now it says that she met Sykes before when she was at a brothel on Canal Street. So they've like known each other for some time before he moved in, but he like moved into a fucking brothel. Like who does
that?
No,
exactly. Like what?
Moves into a brothel.
Right.
But he had a small room on the second floor of the house where he lived there for 5 years. So the article also says quote, he was her quote fancy man for almost 25 years.
Fancy man.
So I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I'm just assuming that it means like it's her boy toy that lived in her house for 25 years. Well, lived in the house for 5 years, but he was her boy toy for like 25 years.
Fancy
or some shit. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what a fancy man is, but is it that like time equivalent of like a fuck boy kind of thing?
Yes. Or is that like, were they thinking fiance? Fancy?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. As it continues, I don't think you'll think it's a fiance. So in October 1883, so this is like 5 years later, shit gets real. And Miss Kate finds herself a new man that she likes named, they just said McLaren. So I guess that's his last name, McLaren. Mm-hmm. Or maybe his first, who knows? But it said he would come to the house and borrow money, which I was like, the fuck?
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Yeah. And so Sykes had a problem with this, obviously, and tried to be like, yo, what the fuck, girl? And, you know, but instead of being normal human beings, Kate and McLaren beat him because he questioned this.
Oh my
man.
God.
So I was
that's
like,
your fancy boy or whatever.
I know. I was like, you can't beat your fancy man. Like, so I'm like, apparently he's not fancy anymore. She don't give a fuck.
Jeez.
Right. So Kate was that. So after this beating, Kate was heard a couple of times by Molly Johnson, who I'm assuming was a prostitute. Like they said she was in her house all the time. So I'm assuming she was a prostitute. Mm-hmm. But and her friend, I guess. So Kate was heard a few times by Molly Johnson saying that she was going to kill Sykes and wanted to take a heavy butcher knife to, quote, open Sykes's belly.
Oh, no.
Right. Shit got real. So Molly talked her out of it. At this one time, Molly talked her out of it. And instead, Kate just calls him in and beats the shit out of him. Yeah. So I'm like, Molly, you might as well just let her gut him because, like, she just beat the shit out of him. And later after that, Molly finds Kate on the stairs with a butcher knife saying she was going to kill him, but she couldn't find him. I'm like, what?
He's hiding from her? Like, what?
I don't know. Like, something went down. I don't know what this McLaren dude had, but, like, something. Yeah. She got a little psychopath.
She sure did.
Yeah. So at the beginning of November of 1983, one night in November, Kate and Molly meet McLaren and some other dude on Canal Street. They get drunk. Arguments start to happen. Kate and McLaren start fighting. Mm-hmm. And when they get back to the house, Molly goes and tries to find Sykes and is like, yo, they're drunk. You better get out of here. Like, you're going to be the one that they beat up on kind of thing. So that must have been like Friday night. So then it's said on Saturday morning, November 3rd, screams and a bunch of noise are heard inside Kate's bedroom by the housekeeper, Mary. Oh. Some reports say that Mary tried to get into the room and saw Sykes and Kate fighting. And Sykes pushed her out of the room, but who knows? And so she sees Sykes come out limping from Kate's bedroom and tells her, "Well, Mary, Kate's gone." Oh. Right. And so she asks what he did, and he said, "I had to do it." So the following morning, the Times-Picayune publishes an article that says, quote, "Carved to death, terrible fate of Kate Townsend at the hands of Treville Sykes with the instrumentality of a Bowie knife, her breast and shoulders literally covered with
death." Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, that is some shit and straight to the
point. Yeah. And, you know, if they were just having a normal fight and he was trying to protect himself, you know, maybe stab her one time, maybe two,
right. So he tells the police that Kate attacked him and he took the weapon out of her hands, and she found a pair of pruning shears and tried to come at him with that, at which point he killed her in self-defense.
Sleeping chamber.
Your sleeping chamber, yeah.
I have pruning shears in my sleeping chamber.
I mean, who doesn't have pruning shears in their sleeping chamber and just knives randomly around?
Yeah.
Natural. I mean, it sounds natural to me. I don't know about
it. Not suspicious at all. Not made it up or anything.
No. Right. So before we get back to Sykes, I just wanted to take a side note to show how fucking bougie this lady is. So this is the part that made me think of harlots as well. So it said that in a report by the Times-Picayune, it said her body was dressed in a $600 white silk dress trimmed with lace that was $50 a yard. What? What? And laid out in her drawing room where the furniture was covered in white silk. So she was laid out like in harlots, how she's laid out and everybody just comes in and sees her body kind of thing.
Wow.
So she was buried in a $400 metallic casket with one corner adorning a silver cross inscribed with her name, date of death, and age. Another thing that they did not mention until later on in the story is that when she died, this bitch weighed over 300 pounds. So she went from being the hot little piece to then she was the head bitch in charge, and she was so extravagant that I guess she could just eat and buy and drink whatever she wanted.
Living it up. That's not what I was picturing at all.
No, that's not what I was picturing either. It was like a Henry VIII situation. You got so full of yourself that you just started imbibing on everything and not giving a shit. So back to Mr. Sykes. Treville Sykes is tried for murder. And he is
acquitted. Oh, my. Okay.
Right. Dun, dun, dun. So not only is he acquitted and not found guilty of her murder, he then is given a will that is dated September 9th, 1873, where Kate gave him her entire estate.
Oh, wow.
What the
fuck? Look who's fancy now, huh?
I know. Well, karma comes back to get him because he's then removed as executor in February 1884 because he failed to deposit some funds he received to the credit of the estate, and then a couple of other financial shit that I didn't get and didn't care to look into. So he got in trouble basically with the law, because he didn't give the taxes or credit or whatever the fuck it was. He gets in trouble. And he is deprived of all interest except for 1/10 of the grounds where he and Kate lived. So once it goes through all the courts and her estate is finally settled, because then he kind of fucked it up and all that. So then their lawyers were involved and all this shit was happening. So 4 years later, in 1888, her estate is settled. excuse me, her estate was settled, and it is said to have been in the amount of almost $82,000. But other reports say it was more like $33,000, but I'm not really sure.
Still a big number.
Still a big number for that time. You know, wasn't even the 20th century yet. And like, she had almost $100,000 just like chilling. So, but after all of the legal fees and court fees, Sykes inherited and was given $34.
Oh my God.
I know. I was like, dude, you thought you had this whole big estate, all of this money and everything. And like, because he fucked it up and didn't become like, you know, he wasn't the executor anymore and all that kind of, you know, all legal shit. Then he had to pay all of the lawyers, and he had to pay all the other people and give taxes and pay the court fees and yada, yada, yada. And he gets $34.
Crazy.
$34 Wow. Yeah, like the whole estate is the amount of $82,000 essentially, and he gets $34 after everything. It was too much. So the brothel was then leased out by the state to our friend Molly from earlier, who operated it until her death in 1889. The house was closed and everything was sold off. And then the city passed ordinances restricting prostitution to a defined district. And the house was then put in the ownership of the LLC.
Oh, quite a change.
I know. Like, this one house has had like so much weird shit happening. So, yeah. So Kate Townsend started off this fancy ass prostitute. And then she hit her demise at 300 pounds and 11 stab wounds later, three of which they said. So it was in a report that when the housekeeper went in and found her on the floor and stuff, and a couple of people came in and they called the police, and a doctor was passing. And so he looked in, and she was basically, I mean, he said she was dead long before he got there, so he couldn't do anything about it. But so he stabbed her 11 times, but only three would have been fatal wounds. So I'm like, could you imagine, like, when did the fatal one happen? I'm like, how many times did he get stabbed? Like, good Lord. And then I'm like, how are you? Also, I'm like, she's 300 pounds. Like, I feel like you could have overtaken her. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's all they say is that he's the one that did it, and he admitted it to the police, but he was tried and he was acquitted.
Yeah, now that I know kind of more what she looks like, I'm picturing this fancy man to be like super skinny.
Oh, 100%.
Skinny and kind of scrawny.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, if she was overpowering him, he obviously wasn't, you know, very good physically, and two, she already mentally broke
down. Yeah, he was living there, even though they kept beating him up. So it's like,
I know. I'm like, dude, I would have moved out.
But
and the fact that her friend was like, they're fighting, you might want to get the hell out.
But he must have known, he found out, you know, that he was in the will at some point.
You think that's, you know, that's what I thought too, but it doesn't really say anything.
I put you in the will.
But she didn't, he didn't die until, I mean, she didn't die until 1883, and it said the will was made in 73.
Maybe she's, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if it was going to be for that, or unless at that point he knew. And she was already beating him up. So she was like, you know, I guess he thought he could take the opportunity to do it, and it could have been self-defense kind of thing. Sure. I don't know. I also just feel like that man was probably just done being beat on and abused and, you know, all of that he was probably just fucking over it. And then when she comes at him with a knife and then pruning shears, you know, he was probably like, get out of here, bitch. Like, I am over your shit.
Totally. Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah. So Treble Sykes was not, he did not go to jail. Kate Townsend, the fancy prostitute of Basin Street, met her very extravagant end. Yeah. I will say that. She laid in state in her $600 dress. $600 is like a lot now for a dress. Like, imagine back then, that had to have been like thousands of dollars.
That's a lot of money.
Like a $10,000 dress or some shit.
And did she just have that insane. Around?
I'm going to go with yes, because one of the things I read made a very like big deal about her bedroom and like how she had all of these like fine linens and everything was like, you know, everything was like the best of the best. So I'm going to assume, like she just fucking had that shit laying around.
See, that's crazy. Yeah.
I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
I also think, but then also like, I think she's like definitely an abuser to this poor guy. Whether he killed her on purpose or not, like, I think she definitely still abused him. But also, like, I kind of feel bad, but I got to give her some mad credit. Because, like, in the late 1800s, to be a woman, be a prostitute, and then turn into a madam and make all of this fucking money and have, like, the best brothel in the country. I mean, like, yeah, it's a brothel, but still, it's a business. And so it's kind of like, go ahead, girl.
Set herself up, for sure. Yeah.
She 100% did. I mean, she went from nothing. Like, she was a barmaid in Liverpool and then became one of the biggest madams in the country, or the most expensive, you know, like the most lavish one, which I'm sure too, that had, just like in Harlots, like she had all of the, like, you know, politician people and, like, you know, mayors and senators and governors and, like, you know, all of that kind of shit. She probably had all of those people in there, so I'm sure she had influence and power and
totally, you know, like after the Civil War, all of the Union soldiers were occupying the city, and so I mean, there you go.
So it's like, you know, she kind of sounds like a shit person, but I got to give her props because she's a great businesswoman. She did what she had to do. She did what she had to do to survive, man. She dumped those twins off in Liverpool and never looked back. I know. Nonchalantly, too. She was like, as he sailed away, she had twins, and then she left the twins, and I was like, okay.
Right.
Just casually. Sure. Casually left her kids. You know. I mean, back then too, it's like, you know, your kids could have a better life if you left them with some people, especially if you weren't like high up in society or anything. But it's just like, damn, girl. Okay.
Yes. I'm sure they would.
But I know. But I was like, good for her. I mean, absolutely. You do you, boo-boo. It's gonna get you stabbed and murdered, but you know, you do you.
For a long time, maybe though, made it through. You know.
Yeah, I mean, she was born in the 30s, and she was born in the 30s, and then died in the 80s. It's pretty legit life for back then. You know. Especially with all of the diseases and shit you could get. I mean, I feel like if anyone lives past like 50, you're like,
yeah, definitely. Kind of thing. In New Orleans, that like yellow fever and war and
much shit was happening.
All kinds of stuff.
Gross things. I don't even want to talk about it. Mm-mm. It's so nasty. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, you know?
Yeah.
Good for her. Sorry you died, but you probably were a shitty person.
Probably so. Oh well.
But yeah, that's our story. Nice little dinner for the day. For the week.
Yeah, I wish that house was still there. I want to go.
I know. There's some pictures, and they had some pictures on Storyville, the Storyville.com place. But I couldn't tell. It looked kind of newer, like not newer, but like 50s-ish. Right. So I couldn't really tell if that was like when it was an Elks Lodge kind of thing, if that's, you know, if that's what it was. But yeah, I think I want to say, don't quote me on this. No one quote me ever on anything. But but I want to say the building is still there. Like the bones of it is still there. I don't know how it looks on the inside, but maybe when we get out of this quarantine, we can go take a trip and try to see.
Yeah.
See where it is.
Once we get free again.
And once we're let out.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, cool.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Well, if anybody listening has stories that you want us to investigate or ghost stories,
you've heard of something, you know, things are happening, hopefully we're going to have a couple of really great interviews soon. With some people that are going to have some really great stories, and it's going to be some names that we think y'all are going to recognize, some of our good friends, and, you know, some awesome people with some awesome stories. So if you have anything, we'll let you know when those people come on. So if you have any questions for them too, but anything in general, just email us bigeasyspirits@gmail.com. You can contact us through our website too, bigeasyspiritspodcast.com. And on not all the social medias, on Facebook and Instagram. We're on the gram and on the Facebooks. My face, as my high school, my high school principal used to call it, the My Face. So let us know, shout us out, give us a 5-star thumbs up star thing, whatever it is, on Apple Podcast and however Google does that, Google Podcasts or Spotify or however you're listening, give us a thumbs up, give us a shout out, leave us a comment.
Absolutely.
All of those things. And
stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. All the things.
Wash your hands.
There you
drink
go.
A lot of alcohol. And don't touch your face. On that note, cheers.